And while you're turning, once again, let me thank you so much for your hospitality today, for the invitation to come present our ministry. This, the most joy we get in life is when we're standing up here doing what we do with the singing. And as far as preaching, preaching is about the only thing I like more than singing. And God has blessed me with opportunities, and the opportunity today to speak twice. And thank you for your reception, and pray that God will continue to bless this church. I tell you what, this is honest truth now. When we were coming down, I had seen Emmanuel Baptist Church many, many times driving by out on Route 52 there, and I was looking for the old building. I did not know that this new building even existed, and I didn't see the sign, but then I saw the new white sign there, and it pointed that way, so I said, well, let's go that way. And boy, pull up here to this magnificent facility. Pastor was sharing with me about how God has blessed in the financing and all of that. And boy, I rejoice with you. What a blessing it is to have such a beautiful facility. I believe God deserves the best, and I think we ought to give him our best when we possibly can. And this is just a real monument, I think, to the blessings of God. So may God continue to bless your ministry here in this community. Thank you once again to our friends that have come today this afternoon. God bless you, friends that I've had for, like I said, all my life. At least since I was about 2, I think, Wanda, is when we probably met. And I've known the Greens since I was, I don't know, 5 or 6. So I ain't going to tell you how old I am now, but I'm old enough. And we appreciate them coming for the afternoon service. Now, Matthew chapter 7, would you stand as we read just one verse? We'll have prayer, and we'll actually read two different verses. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, it says, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now turn while you're standing to Luke chapter 6. Hold your place there at Matthew, if you will. We'll just come back to that in a minute. But I want to read a parallel passage here in Luke chapter 6. And verse 31. Is that right? Nope, I'm in the wrong chapter. I got it. All right, here we go, verse 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Father, bless the message, bless your word. And as always, I covet your help, your direction. There's something I ought to say, help me to say it. There's something I shouldn't say, then keep me from it. But might the people today hear from you, and might they be blessed and encouraged from your word. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. That chicken's not sitting quite right with me. In 1902, a man started a retail store in Kemmerer, Wyoming. He decided he was going to take a different approach than he had seen in other establishments. He said he was going to treat his employees the way he would want to be treated if he were an employee. In fact, he didn't call them employees, he called them associates. Yeah, that'll be fine. Thank you. I have helpful grandsons and sons-in-law and wives, wife. You got to be careful to speaking without, you know. Thank you. But anyway, this fellow started this store, and you know, he's going to treat his employees the way he would want to be treated if he were an employee, called them associates. And he also decided he was going to be really good to his customers, and his plan was to treat them like guests in his store. His name was James Cash. Well, that was his first and middle names. His last name was Penny. And the store that he started, J.C. Penny, spread all across the United States and even around the world. And it's still in business today. Sears and Roebuck's gone, and Kmart is out of business. JCPenney still going. And over the years, it became known as the Golden Rule Store. I want you to think for a little while today on the golden rule. I want to get one thing settled right here at the start. I read you the verses that assert or voice what we call the golden rule. And if you take the time to study those verses closely, you should come up with this truth and realize this fact. The golden rule is not a contract. It is a commandment. Don't miss this now. It's not a contract. It's a commandment. Now, we commonly quote the rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's fine. That's a good way of putting it. But what many people don't realize and do not understand when their faulty reasoning backfires on them is that the golden rule is not an agreement between you and the other person. If I do good to someone, then that guarantees that he or she will do good to me in return. I'm sorry, there's no such teaching in those words of Christ. There's no promise that your kindness or your generosity or your concern towards someone else will be returned in like manner. Unfortunately, there are people who will take advantage of you. When you do nothing but good to them, they'll take advantage of your goodness. And if you're expecting like return from how you have treated them, and it doesn't happen, well, then you're likely to be confused and probably bitter toward that other person. Now, I will say that I believe your good and kind treatment of others will make it more likely that they will reciprocate in kind. But that is not the teaching of the golden rule. It's not a contract. It's not an agreement. It's the command of Christ. It does not guarantee the good behavior of others, but it should govern your behavior. Oh, by the way, Jesus did not say, do unto others as they do unto you. You know, people love to quote, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's in Matthew 5. Well, Jesus quoted that. Yeah, it's in the Bible. And then he said, but I say unto you, resist not evil, turn the other cheek. So I hope you're following me. Now, you may disagree with me, but you'll have to take it up with the Lord. He said it, not me. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Now, let's move forward as we consider what we call the golden rule. Number one, let's think about the reach of the golden rule. The Bible says something interesting in Matthew 7:12. If you've got your Bible open there, just read it there with me. It says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. The reach of the golden rule. In the Bible, there are commandments, or to make it good in alliteration, we'll call them procedures. So letter A, if you're writing down the outline, is procedures, the things we are supposed to do and the things we're not supposed to do. Now, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. I don't often do this, but how many of y'all believe in the Ten Commandments? Raise your hand. Okay, I think we got about everybody. How many of you think we ought to obey the Ten Commandments? Okay, now, here's where I want you to be honest. How many of you can quote all Ten Commandments? Commandments. Okay, just a few. I mean, let's face it, we're obligated to the Ten Commandments, and the majority of us are not even sure what they are. You know, thou shalt not kill, I can quote some of them. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt buy the Kittle family CD after the service, you know, all those commandments. But did you know that there's way more than 10 commandments in the Bible? Yeah, hundreds. And all these procedures we're obligated to, all of us have been reading our Bible for years, no doubt. But after all that reading, I couldn't tell you all the commandments that are in the Bible. But then, there's not only commandments in the Bible, there are prophetic utterances This is letter B, if you're keeping track. And we call them proclamations. Proclamations. You got procedures, and you got proclamations. For example, Isaiah says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Now, that's not a commandment. There's no commandment there. It's a statement, but it's something I am obligated to do, to trust in the Lord with all my heart, keep my mind stayed on him, and I'll have peace as God desires and intends for me to have. Isaiah said, hey, this is what I've learned. That will keep him in perfect peace. Mind stayed on thee. And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if we omit that, we're not following the proclamations or the procedures. But you know what? I can't quote you all of those either. Can't do it. So God said this. He didn't really say this, but I'm sort of, putting an anthropomorphism in there. God says, I'll give you a shortcut. And that's in the Greek or the Hebrew, one or the other. I'm not sure which. Now, I can tell you, I like shortcuts. I like easy ways to do things. I like people who simplify my life rather than complicate it. And Jesus said, let me make it simple. If you get this and get it right, then you will keep all the commandments. You'll fulfill all the proclamations and all the procedures of the Bible. This is the law and the prophets. Story is told. It's a true story. Many years ago, a man came to a rabbi, and he told the rabbi, he said, I tell you what, I will convert to Judaism if you will recite for me the entire law of God while standing on one foot. He actually said this. And the fellow thought that was a safe bet. You see, the Jews were the original bureaucrats. They would have fit in well in Washington, D.C. God had given the Jews five books of the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And in turn, the Jews wrote books to explain those five books. The five books of the law they called the Torah. And then they wrote 50 books to explain the five books. And they called those 50 books the Talmud. So this guy says to himself, there's no way this rabbi will be able to fulfill my challenge to recite the entire law of God while standing on one foot. The rabbi, I'm not going to do it because I can't. I've got a bad left knee, and I'm missing half of my right foot. So I want you to feel sorry for me. Can everybody say, aw, thank you. I needed that. But anyway, the rabbi, in accepting this challenge, the rabbi lifted one foot and said, don't do anything to your neighbor that you wouldn't want him to do to you. He said, that's the whole law. The rest is just explanation. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus comes along and he did what he so often does. He takes the ideas of the law to a higher level. He said, you've heard, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her in his heart. Don't lust after the woman, but do treat her with respect. You've heard it said, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, he that hates his brother has committed murder already in his heart. Don't kill your neighbor, but do show him love. Jesus is saying, look, I don't want you to just not do the bad things to your neighbor that you wouldn't want them to do to you. I want you to do the good things to your neighbor that you'd like for them to do to you. Parallel passage found in Matthew 22. You don't turn to it, but Jesus was asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? Which one should we be concerned about keeping first? And Jesus said the first and the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And then next in line, the second great commandment is love thy neighbor as thyself. Whatever you would like for others to do to you, do that to them. It's another way of saying the same thing. Now, I want to establish something here. Nobody loves their neighbor as they love themselves. We just don't. Nobody. You're driving home. You approach your neighborhood and you see a whole bunch of smoke rising up, and there's orange flames leaping up under that cloud of smoke, and you realize that it's in your subdivision. And you realize it's on your street, and the closer you get, you realize it's on your block. And you mash down the accelerator, you go speeding up to the scene of the fire, and you go, thank the Lord, it's my house that's on fire, not one of my neighbors. Maybe not. Nobody loves their neighbor as themselves. But Jesus said, if you'll follow this one rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, you'll keep all the law. You won't have to enumerate all the points. You won't have to remember every single little line and rule. You'll do it automatically by doing unto others as you would have them to do unto you. You'll keep all the law and the prophets. So how do I do that? That seems rather daunting. Well, let's move to point number two. Think with me about the requirements of the golden rule. We talk about the reach of the rule, how far it extends, but now let's discuss what